Hello and welcome back, and thanks for listening. I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics. This week we have a friend of the show and a New York Times bestselling author many times over, Stephen Kotler, and he's back to share his newest edition, and this time it's fiction. We've been leaning more on fiction to help us get our heads around the breakneck pace of technological advances, as well as the existential paradigm shift the world seems to be going through. Mr. Kotler was last on the show to discuss his bestseller, Stealing Fire, co-written with Jamie Wheel. Stealing Fire is about flow, how people find increased creativity, productivity, and quality of life. This time, the book is titled Last Tango in Cyberspace, and it addresses what Kotler sees as mission critical to navigate the coming century, empathy.
At the core of the book is what I call this kind of empathy for all message. And the idea is, if we're going to deal with the environmental challenges ahead of us, we got to expand empathy from just feeling for other humans into plants, animals, ecosystems. Maybe as, you know, AIs and robotics start to develop up the chain into AIs and robotics, where we need to, like, treat people with care and love and respect and those things is widening.
Last Tango in Cyberspace explores hot topics like psychology, neuroscience, technology, as well as ecological and animal rights issues. The world created in Last Tango is based very closely on our world about 5 years from now, and all technology in the book either exists in labs or is rumored to exist. Okay, let's get into this one.
Hey, I'm Stephen Kotler. I'm an author, and I'm the executive director of the Flow Research Collective.
The last time we spoke, Stephen, was for Stealing Fire. You and Jamie Wheel were on the show, and I have to tell you, that interview resonated with me to the point where I have referenced Stealing Fire and some of that conversation in several subsequent interviews with other people. And I hope
that's nice of you to say, Jason. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. No, it was a seminal book in my journey along these story threads. And your newest book is called Last Tango in Cyberspace. It's a fiction. Let's start there. I've been using fiction authors more frequently on this show to help me unpack things. And I think it's because I think that all of us are in the middle of an existential paradigm shift right now, and we're all trying to find some answers. Do you find that that's why you turn to fiction?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely, I tell this to my team, actually. Like, for me, because there was a long period where I didn't read fiction. And when I came back, because I was like, you know, you can get all the facts you want from the nonfiction. Fiction gives you perspective. It gives you the wide view, and often forces you to look at things from angles that you would not normally look at and positions you would not get to just reading the nonfiction. That's what I think.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, because, like, I was interested in the psychedelic and psychotherapy, so that's why part of Stealing Fire, it's not all of it, of course, it's just part of Stealing Fire, was so intriguing to me. And that's winding up in your fiction here, too. And it really does help me find a grounding for that. Where did you start for the idea for this new book, Last Tango in Cyberspace? Was it because you just wanted to find that wider view, or did you want to drill into one thing and then it just expanded?
I think it was two things. So one, I have been covering accelerating disruptive technology for 3 decades as a journalist for publications like Wired and the New York Times, you know, writing books. Three of my books are about technology. And the thing, and I'm working on another one right now, and a follow-up to Bold and Abundance with Peter Diamandis, and the speed of technological change is so fast. And I wanted to put all this stuff that I knew was going to show up over the next 5 years into a world so I could look at it and go, well, what the heck is coming? And I also, you know, at the core of the book is what I call this kind of empathy for all message. And the idea is, if we're going to deal with the environmental challenges ahead of us, we got to expand empathy from just feeling for other humans into plants, animals, ecosystems. Maybe as, you know, AIs and robotics start to develop up the chain into AIs and robotics, where we need to, like, treat people with care and love and respect and those things is widening. And those two things together, which are happening because of accelerating technology, I wanted to just put together into a world and see what it looked like. That's what I did.
Let's stay here with the role of empathy, because it does, obviously, it's a tentpole for the book. I'm reminded of, you know, the empaths in the movie Minority Report, which was a Philip K. Dick book. You mentioned emotional. I want to ask more about empathy real quick, because you've been covering disruptive technologies for 30 years. I'm sorry, 3 decades, I think you said. Okay. Is this the end of the beginning of our dealing with this disruption of technology, or the beginning of the end?
So Great question. And the best way to track it is along exponential growth curves. These are Moore's Law, which says, hey, the computer in your pocket gets twice as fast every year and a half, but the cost stays the same. It's a price performance curve, and it underpins any information technology. So any technology can translate into ones and zeros, right? And the technologies that are now accelerating on these exponential growth curves, biotechnology, nanotechnology, quantum computing, AI, sensors, networks, on and on and on. So when you look at those curves, Ray Kurzweil, head of engineering at Google, head of AI there, is the best at this in the world. And he says if you track those curves out over the next 100 years, we're going to experience 20,000 years of technological change. So what he's saying is we're about, in 86 years, we're going to go birth of agriculture to the birth of the internet twice.
Wow. That's amazing. And no wonder our heads are spinning and we need fiction.
Right?
You know, I mean, seriously, you also have a phrase in here I like too, emotional computing. Can you unpack that for us?
So this is happening. This is real, and it's real all over the place. So computers, AI, artificial intelligence, are being programmed to read human emotion through facial expressions, micro expressions, which a lot of people believe are directly hardwired into our emotional systems. You can't produce these expressions without feeling the emotion. We've got biomarkers, and stuff is getting very advanced. We can now track this human emotion at a distance by shooting like LIDAR sensors at a tidy vein in the human forehead. We need this two different ways. I'll give you two quick examples.
Okay.
One, we are moving by 2020, we're going to have autonomous cars, autonomous Ubers, autonomous taxis on our streets in all the major cities. So an autonomous car driving down your road needs to know if the pedestrian 200 yards down the road is angry and likely to act irrationally and thus leap into traffic to try to cross the street in front of the car. That's critical information. So these, you know, autonomous vehicles don't kill people. So they're literally being programmed to read human emotion and to make empathetic decisions. Literally, like, aim for trash cans and not pedestrians if you lose control. Aim for single individuals and not groups of individuals if you lose control. Aim for older people instead of children. I don't know what they're exactly programming them with, but literally these decisions are being made. So that's one side of it. The other side of it is, and I've been involved, I got to sit with this, I don't even know. So we've developed the world's first, like, AI psychologists. The Department of Defense did it at USC. Her name is Ellie, and she was designed to detect PTSD and early warning signs of depression in soldiers so they could kind of stem the tide of soldier suicide at scale, right? They couldn't scale up social workers and psychologists, so they trained an AI to do this. So we've got, and by the way, soldiers like talking to Ellie, the shrink, the AI shrink, better than they like talking to a real psychologist. Like, we're getting really good results with this. So we've now, emotional computing is an entire branch of computing, and it is moving at lightning speed. So think about the conversations you have with Siri, with Alexa, with whatever now, and go 5-10 years in the future when suddenly, you know, your Siri can understand your emotions, your feelings, where you're coming from, vocal inflection, emotional sarcasm, all that stuff comes on the back of it, natural language. Suddenly you can make jokes to your AI Alexa in your house, and Alexa's going to, like, get it, feel it, and be able to respond in kind. That's a totally different relationship with machines that we've ever had.
That was Stephen Kotler, author of the new book, Last Tango in Cyberspace. The fictional but all too real book explores hot topics like psychology, neuroscience, technology, and ecological and animal rights issues. For links to the book, and it's worth every click and page turn, please check the podcast notes wherever you pull down your audio sweetness, or check the show notes that live online at kgoradio.com. Also, the podcast has an extended interview version of this chat. Coming up after the break is part 2 of 2 with Stephen Kotler. We dive a little deeper into the real-world situations that he fictionalizes and that we're all going to be dealing with for a while.
The speed of technological change is so fast, and I wanted to put all this stuff that I knew was going to show up over the next 5 years into a world so I could look at it and go, well, what the heck is coming?
That's next, so do please stick around. I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics.